This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where I, your host, Shane Told, talk to other lead singers about what it's like to be the singer of a pro rock and roll band. And today, we have a great episode. I'm with Derek from State Champs, a bit of a newer band, but a great band. And man, this guy can sing. This guy has an amazing voice. So I went out to California. I took a big flight, got on the big plane, went from Toronto to San Diego, California, to talk to a few people out on the Warped Tour, and I got to catch up with Derek on the back of his tour bus, and we had a great, great talk about all different kinds of things, and this episode came out awesome. Right now, as I record this, I'm in Las Vegas. I know this is coming out a little bit late on Monday. I apologize for that. You know what happened, to be honest? Well, I forgot what day it was. I'm out here, Warped Tour, Las Vegas. I kind of don't know which way is up at the moment, and that's okay. I'm not perfect. So it's fine. Today's Monday. Thought it was Sunday. Whatever. But hey, here's the episode. Better late than never. Before we jump into it with Derek, again, I just want to say thank you. All this praise that you guys give me on the internet, all this different stuff is always so nice to hear. I really, really like receiving, whether it's a little Snapchat video. That was rad last week when you guys were sending me different Snapchat videos of you guys listening to it in your cars. That was rad. Do that again. So when you're listening to this, go on Snapchat, add me. It's real Shane Told. Add me and send a video to me of you listening to the podcast and whatever. Just do it. It's fun for me. I like that stuff. Also, you can get in touch just by email. It's leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com or on Twitter at leadsingersyn, S-Y-N. We got an Instagram account, which you should definitely check out. Last week with Mike Herrera of MXPX, I posted actually a picture on Instagram of my high school yearbook where my pet peeve was MXPX. So there is some stuff to see on Instagram that you can't see anywhere else related to the show. So add us on Instagram at leadsingersyndrome. And as always, if you want to support the show, help it grow, and you buy stuff online. People buy stuff online now. It's a thing. Some people don't even shop at stores anymore. They just buy things online, which is wild to me. But it's possible. So if you do buy things online, if you use Amazon, which is kind of the biggest one, I guess, here's how you can help me out. Go to leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. It'll take you right to the Amazon homepage. You log in as normal. You won't even know anything happened. But when you go on there, anything you buy, we get 4%. So please check it out. It really, really helps us out, paying for the production of the show and everything. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in again. If you like the show, please write a review on iTunes, preferably 5 stars. And again, thanks so much for listening to this. Your support means so much to me. Let's jump into it. Here it is, another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome and my conversation with Derek of State Champs. Sometimes I think I'm there for Well, I'm here.
We're here
with Derek from State Champs. We are
Cheers, literally toasting
a Budweiser that just says America on it in huge letters.
We've been calling them Taste of America, the Taste of America all summer long.
They just say America in huge letters. I've not seen this before.
Oh, yeah. They rebranded for this summer. It's great.
Okay.
It's so convenient, especially like for Warped Tour.
You know, I've heard that if Trump gets elected, it's not even going to say the brands of the beers anymore. It's just going to say America.
Just America with no A.
Or maybe they'll just all say Trump. That could be more likely.
So somebody today, I got an email from Trump, like the Trump campaign saying,
wow,
thank you for signing up for the Trump campaign newsletter. Like, we'd love to have you donate. Like, click here where you can donate. So someone basically took my email.
So how much did you give them?
I didn't do anything. Couldn't have deleted an email.
Yeah,
faster.
Dude, that's like a full on spam filter. Like, I might spend a little time making sure I don't get that email again. Whatever you got to do
so
these days.
So somebody roasted me. Like, must have just put me on some newsletter or something.
Yeah, probably. I don't know, man. I like one day I just got like literally one day I got like 500 emails of spam. Just one
so
day
random.
It happened, and I was like, well, and it like. I finally like was able to filter.
Yeah.
But my email was like a mess.
I'm that kind of guy that like needs months. To have organization with the emails.
Yeah,
like, I'm always
fucking bad. Like I look at my phone right now. I've got this might make you very nervous, but look how many unread emails
I
have.
Oh my god.
I have
10,243. That's scary
to
me.
I know, but a lot of them most of them are just like are crap. I guess I haven't figured
it's
out.
It's probably all random shit, obviously. But
I guess I haven't figured it out. But
I can't
like,
even have one or two like with the red dot.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that weird about that. I mean, my messages are always pretty clear, but I've got like 40. Yeah. I don't even know what 48 phone calls is.
We got a popular guy over here.
Well, not as popular as Derek from State Champs. Having a big year on the Vans Warped Tour. How is the Vans Warped Tour treating you, sir?
It's been a decent year. No, it's been an awesome summer for sure. This is really cool. It's our second time on the Warped Tour. We did it in 2014. On the Kevin Says stage, the small stage, like just as a nobody band, and like I try to make it a point to like I know I don't talk much or get like you know preachy or like lovey on the mic with like the set, so but I make it a point to just be like you know we did this 2 years ago to maybe a tenth or a twelfth of what we have here today, so like thanks for being on this journey with us. It's really fucking crazy and weird to like now be on the main stage and like
two short years.
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff has happened fast, but at the same time. We've been grinding, like, nonstop touring since then, so it's just, like, a wild thing, really. But it's cool. This summer's
great.
Been incredible.
I got to watch your set, and I got to ask you something. I noticed the wacky, waving, inflatable, flailing arm tube men on stage.
Yes, we have them up there. Two of them.
Now, I have to ask you where you got that idea, because we were going to do it last
year.
No,
you didn't do it, did you?
We didn't do it. We were really close.
Yeah.
And at the last minute, we were like, nah, I think it might be weird.
Too
we're not going to do
or
it.
Cheesy. That was my thing. I was like,
and then we didn't do it. And when I saw you guys with them, I was like, and they looked like, awesome.
God
I was like,
it.
Fuck.
You know what's really funny? It's like, we had the idea for so long for a club tour, like doing it for a club tour.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Warped Tour, we were like, okay, it makes so much more sense to do it at something like Warped Tour, the outdoor festival, like lots more kids, and it's during the day, you know? Like, and make, like, we just wanted to make fun of ourselves, really. We wanted to, like, make it even shittier, like, make the whole stage look like a car salesman, like a used car lot.
Ashley Schaefer BMW. Ashley Schaefer BMW.
But, like, I think they're great, and it's so funny with all the kids that, like, or our friends that stand on the stage, too. They nonstop, like, flail back and forth and hit them in the face and stuff, and they're all, like hitting it.
Yeah.
But they're cool. Like, I'm glad we did that. I haven't seen any other bands that have done it. I think one other band has done it for a club tour. I think it was the Front Bottoms that did it before.
Oh, yeah?
They did those, like, on stage. So I don't want them to be mad at us.
No.
But I just thought it was a great idea.
I'm calling you out because I'm just wondering if somehow the idea got... Because we told a lot of people. We're wondering if it got passed around.
Oh, no. That never got...
It's the original idea. Okay. I believe you, Derek.
You thought we snaked you.
I know. But I believe you now.
No.
Well, geez. Yeah, man. I mean, it's cool. It's cool talking to you. On my podcast, like, I don't tend to talk to a lot of, like, newer bands, really.
I mean, yeah. I've seen the list, and I'm just like, wow, this is, like, do I belong here? Like,
well, no. You absolutely belong here. But I love your band. I love your story, and one thing I think is really cool is that we played together in 2012 at the Palladium.
Yes, you're right. I'm so glad you remember this.
Yeah, I remember it well.
We were a local band then.
Right. Well, this is the funny thing. Basically, one of you guys said, like, you guys played, and I'm just kind of lurking around the merch, and I saw you guys, and I saw your merch set up or whatever, and one of your guys said to me, don't worry, we're not a local band. Well... We are a local band, but, like, we get it.
Trying to seem as cool as possible.
It was very, like, but for some reason I was, like, I understood. I was, like, uh-huh. Like, I do kind of get it.
Was it when someone was, like, asking you for something or trying to get a shirt from your merch or something like that?
I just wonder how that came about. You know, I was at, because I go to merch after pretty much every show just to talk to kids.
Yep.
So I was hanging out, and it was kind of winding down. So all the, like, people that were there were just, like, in the bands or whatever.
Yep, everybody's hanging.
So I was standing kind of by your table and just, like, sort of caught the eye of one of you. I don't remember who it was. And just had the conversation.
That's funny.
And then you guys gave me a shirt.
Yep.
It was, like, black, and it had, like, an SC on the back and, on the side and on the back.
Okay.
I still wear it to this day.
Really?
Get a lot
still
of compliments
have it?
On it.
That's awesome, because people are probably like, where can I get that one? It was probably, like, 50 of them made ever or something.
Maybe. I started wearing it, like, right after that date, and I would wear it, and it's funny, because I started noticing more and more people talking about the shirt. Like, oh, State Champs. Oh. State Champs.
Cool.
Oh, I know this band, like, all over. And I was like, okay, so they aren't just a local band. They are starting to...
Well, give or take whatever we are, we still get it.
We
are a local band, but we're cool.
Yeah, but that was August of 2012, so it's only 4 years ago.
Yeah, because we put our first record out at the end of 2013.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 2012, I think. Either way, like, it was before, I think, before we signed, before we, like, really started going.
Yeah,
it's crazy,
I can't
man. So much has happened since then.
I can't remember if you told me that you guys were signed at that point or
I think
not.
Maybe we were, like, locking in a deal or something, and we briefly talked about it or something. But it's cool. Yeah, that was with Pure Noise, like, from the West Coast, right from the Bay, and, like, we're still with them now.
Yep.
Just did our second record with them, signed on for another one, so we're just going to get ready to do that soon,
Jake
too.
Jake is a great guy.
Oh, he's awesome. It's really cool.
And it's what's really cool about that label is Pure Noise Records is they seemingly sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And now, you know, obviously they have you guys, they have, you know, Story So Far being...
Yeah, and bringing back a lot of, like really cool, like, still relevant legacy bands, too. Like, bringing in For Your Strong and Hit the Lights and bands like that, too. Senses Fail, even.
Yeah.
And then some really newer, even heavy bands that are killing it, like Counterparts in this new band, Knocked Loose, who I think is really dope.
It's just really cool that they're able to be a new label and have these... They get this kind of reach, on that, so I'm really glad to hear that it's going so well with them.
Oh yeah,
yeah, man. So, like, it must be just so surreal for you guys going from this 4 years, like let's talk about it in, like, 2 year chunks, going from being a local band, opening for us. Shit, we were in the small room of the Playdium,
the small room of the Playdium
on short tour.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Was,
I remember
it was
that
really weird tour for us.
And I think it was Lions with you guys there.
Yeah. Oh, I love Lions.
And who else?
Yeah.
Was Such Gold on the tour? Or
yeah,
something?
Such Gold. Yeah,
Such Gold.
Yeah, it was kind of like a more of a punk rock, like, little tour.
Yep,
so
yep.
Going from that to Warped Tour, Kevin Says Stage, to now Main Stage, and here we are in your very luxurious bus.
This is our first bus. This is pretty wild. Yeah, it's crazy, man. You know, we've paid many a dues in the van. You know, van and trailer, friends' floors. You know, and then maybe start, okay, we'll get one hotel room a night for the eight of us in the van. That
kind of
thing.
I love that.
Rolling dice in the corner of the room to see who gets the beds, like that kind of thing. Oh, yeah, we all roll dice. Yeah, that's for everything. Still to this day.
Yeah.
If there's too many people for the bunks on the bus, even, or the bandwagon, whatever we're traveling in, get the dice out. That's what we do.
That's right, like CeeLo?
Either CeeLo or Tony, our guitarist, has a 20-sided die that we all roll. It's pretty cool.
And the high number wins.
High number, yeah, that's it. But
because
not all of our guys like to do the CeeLo thing.
He's playing some nerdy
but
stuff.
But I get there's a couple crew of us now on the Warped Tour. We're rolling CeeLo every
night. Oh, yeah,
night
so the
too.
Gambling is full effect on Warped
it's
Tour?
It's in full effect, for sure. Even with, like, Cornhole and Flip Cup, money goes down on pretty much anything.
Really? Well, it's interesting, you know, it's your second Warped Tour. Silverstein has done Warped Tour.
Yeah, how many times
Jesus.
Have you done it?
Well, we did. I'm not sure, 04, 05, 06, 09, 13, and 15. So we've done it 6 times.
Yeah.
And one thing that's fell by the wayside is the Warped Tour poker game.
Oh, really? Was that, like, a bigger thing?
The Warped Tour poker game was huge.
Really?
Dude, I remember, like, 04, our first year, the poker game, they didn't have 2 tables going every night.
Wow.
Big money.
There is a poker game. Not a big one, but, like, Mayday Parade has it.
Oh, Mayday Parade does it.
They do it. They have a table. They set it up. It wasn't all going every night, but now I see it pretty much every night. They have a pretty decent crew over there. It doesn't seem like it's, like, the talk of the tour, really, or, like, the big thing. But also, Have you heard of the game Werewolf, Ultimate Werewolf?
Yes. I know that's like a JJR thing.
Yeah, it's a JJR thing.
Yeah.
John James Ryan, he does like the moderation of it. He's like the referee, you
I've
know?
Never played, but I've seen people play it.
It is pretty wild. Like they've obviously dragged me in a couple times. It's not my favorite thing to do because I feel like it ruins friendships. And it's just like a mind-thinking game, and you have to know how to lie really well. And people find out how good of a liar you are.
Oh, wow.
Because basically everyone has a character. There's like 20 or 30 people that all sit in lawn chairs in a circle. You're given a role in a card. Nobody knows what your role is.
Yes.
Only you know it. There's a team of monsters and villagers, and everyone's trying to figure out who each other is, and you kill them, and then like people get eliminated, and like you talk about it for 5 minutes about who we think who is who, and like, oh, he said something earlier that he might be this or that, and then you find out at the end, you're like, you motherfucker, you said this, and like now we're not good. Like,
no, I never played the game, but I mean, I'm here for a couple days. Maybe
we can get you in there. We'll see.
Maybe I'll have my first Werewolf experience. But the NoFX poker game, like in 2004.
Was it NoFX that did it?
Yeah, like they were kind of the. But I mean, it would be fuck. It was like you'd have Fat Mike, and you'd have like Lars from Rancid, and you'd have like you just have like.
I'd be intimidated enough.
Oh,
just sitting there.
Oh, it was so intimidating. Yeah, and it was. But it was. I mean, it was great times. And then every year, and now like it seems like this year, I ran into a couple people that I've seen on the tour before. I'm like. Poker game tonight? They're like, dude, there's no poker. I'm like, no poker.
They're like, what the
tour.
Fuck,
how else
man?
Are you gonna kill time? But no, man, that's really good to see you guys doing so well with just with the band. And which bunk do you have?
I've always rolled the worst number when we roll for the bandwagon bunks, and was always on the
so
top.
So you roll
forever.
At the beginning of every tour? You roll for bunks?
Yeah, for the whole tour. Oh. So, but this time around, this is our first big bus with 12 bunks where we said, okay, the band can just pick whatever they want because there's plenty of middles and plenty of bottoms. I like the middle bunk because there's three high.
Yeah, it's the best.
There's three high, and I like the middle because it's easy to just like get in and roll out of. On the bottom is still cool, but you roll out and you're on the ground. You got to get up, you know. First world problems, I guess, but like I just prefer the middle.
So how come Derek from State Champs? I mean, can't you just play the lead singer card and be like, I want the fucking bunk I want?
I guess
singer?
I could cry about it and be like, nobody's getting anything if I don't get what I want. No, I don't want to do that. I actually enjoy the whole like, all right, we're rolling. It's time. Like, you know, and like if somebody's shot, like you deal with it. At least you know that we literally rolled dice for it, and like that was that. You're like,
so if you pulled the rest of your band. Would they say, who would they say in the band is like the biggest like diva?
Oh, that's probably me. Still.
Still you.
Still
even
me.
Though you're cool about like
still
giving
no,
away
I, yeah.
the prime bunk spot,
well,
you're still the diva.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe me or maybe Tyler, our guitarist. He's like, he's pretty sassy guy. And like,
yep.
and like he's very like, he'll tell you, he'll give it to you straight, basically. But he's still not the guy to complain and be like, no, I need this now. I need that. Nobody's really like that. There's no room for anybody like that in this band, in this crew. So that's what's cool about
yep.
how everybody gets along and how everybody can like deal with shitty things like that, or even just like shitty situations where you're shit out of luck, but at least we did it fair, you know, like things like that.
No, I think
that's how
a
bands
good approach.
Fucking break up, dude, like
it
that
is.
Kind of stuff.
It is how bands break up, and that's like a cool thing about you guys is that you guys are a young band. How old are you?
I'm 23. Yeah,
and you know, so you guys got started relatively young.
Yeah, we started right when I graduated high school. I was 17.
Yeah,
the rest of the guys, I'm the youngest in the band. The rest of the guys were in college and had to drop out. So I kind of got lucky. I did end up going to like an art school for 1 year, but I don't even call that college. I don't even call that spending a year. It was while we started touring, and I was just like missing classes left and right, and was like, I need to get out of this right now and just like commit. So,
well, let's go back to the early life of Derek. How do you say your last name?
Discanio.
Discanio?
Discanio, yeah. It's Italian. I don't like Italian food, though. That's that.
You don't? Come on. Do you like pizza?
I mean, I like pizza. Everybody likes pizza.
You like spaghetti with?
No, see, I don't like I don't like
pasta?
Red sauce. I don't like red sauce. I like Alfredo. Anything?
Huh?
Like I fuck with Olive Garden heavy, but like only Alfredo stuff, like with the white sauce. Whatever,
okay.
whatever. That's just that. But yeah, I'm
have you
super
ever been
Italian.
To Italy?
I have not. We're going though. We're going there right after Warped Tour. I think we're going there to play in Milan.
Nice.
Like our first time there. Pretty
nice.
Cool.
Good. Watch out for heat and mosquitoes.
Yeah. Mosquitoes was, in Italy?
Dude, it was horrible. Damn. Literally the worst. It was like, I'm sorry, I'm going in Celsius, so only Canadians and Europeans will understand. It was like 35 degrees Celsius, which is, I don't know, probably like 95 maybe.
So brutal.
And so humid. And mosquitoes like everywhere is awful. So
that's not my favorite.
Literally by bug spray. Our tour manager got like 50.
Any exposed
skin? He counted
skin?
Them. Dude, through your clothes, whatever. He counted 40 mosquito bites.
That's rough.
Rough.
And that's, like, just sounds bleak.
It was bleak. But that being said, Italy's beautiful. So.
No, I'm stoked. Yeah, we've never been there. We've done a good amount of Europe, but we haven't done much touring there. We've only been there once or twice, and like still countries we haven't been to, like Italy and Spain is another one we've never been to.
Yeah, Spain's beautiful.
Yeah, but we're going out there mainly for a festival run. We're going to go out and do the UK Reading and Leeds Fest out there,
good
and then
for you guys,
we do Belgium, which will be cool. We're doing the Pukkel Pop. I think that's how you say it. Like that's a big one too.
Yep.
So that those I'm really excited for. Those are going to be the biggest shows like we'll probably ever play, like to the most people at least, because those are the biggest of the big.
I mean, I hope you understand like what playing Reading like means.
It's crazy.
Like it's been a festival since like the 1960s. Like,
yeah,
it's a fucking big deal.
Yeah,
like
it's so
you
wild.
I hope you guys like savor the moment.
That's the thing. I don't even know what to expect. I've never been. I've never attended. So yeah. Like, but all I hear is like, you know, my friends from the UK that go over there every year, like they think it's such a huge deal and like the biggest thing ever that we're playing. So I'm like, okay, they must not be fucking around. Like,
no.
We need to get our shit together.
No,
and like
honestly, congratulations.
We're playing the main stage, like to the
like that's insane, dude.
Which is also insane. Given it, well, like, opening the main stage, that whatever, that's fine. Like
to say that you played main stage at Reading, like.
It's crazy, man. And like, sure, like
our tour manager might be looking after you, Danny Harvey. He's like,
oh,
he
really?
Like looks after. Yeah, he's like, when he's not working for us, he's always at Reading, and he does like the.
I think I've met him before, actually, because what I think is our tour manager is British as well. And like,
they're friends.
Dave, yeah.
This is where I thought maybe you guys stole the wacky way.
Oh, you thought Dave ratted on you guys?
I thought maybe something came down.
No, he did not rat on you.
That was my first initial
thought.
He
did not rat on you, but no. I think I have met. Your boy before, I think, maybe briefly.
Yeah. Anyways, dude, we are going so off track. I love it. But let's go back to the beginnings of Derek, and now I forgot how to say your last name.
It's okay, Descanio.
Descanio, how did you get involved in music? How did you become a singer?
Okay.
What music inspired you earlier in your life? Like, tell me about that.
This is called lead singer syndrome, so.
Yeah, and you are a lead singer.
I don't come from any sort of professional like thing, like with the lessons growing up or like, you know, choir and like chorus in class and stuff. Nothing like that.
Nobody does.
I come from singing in the car with my mom. That's my big thing. I'm an only child with a single mom living in upstate New York growing up. To and from school, to and from hockey practice, all the car trips and stuff. She played in bands too. Like my mom was like she played keyboards and sang in like bar bands and like party bands and like she had me pretty young and when she was like 20 or something. So here I am growing up, I'm 10 and she's like just getting out of her 20s and starting to sing like I don't know, Linkin Park and stuff like that, or like even like just random bands in the car. And she would always know how to do really good harmonies and stuff. And I was so like interested in that. And like she would try to teach me how to do like high harmonies. There's a third harmony.
Two harmonies on top of the music you're listening to.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ah,
so
cool.
then it became this thing, like gradually, like singing, listening to the radio. Like I would always like, I almost like, became a habit that I would always sing the harmony of anything that's on the radio, and then my mom had to be like, okay, you need to stop doing that, stop singing like harmonies always, like learn when to sing the harmony and when not to, things like that. And like I don't know, she'd like give me little tips like, okay, you need to take a deep breath here or something, but she never had crazy training either, so it's kind of cool. It's just this little bond thing that we had like growing up. And then I never really knew what I wanted to do, like being in a band. I was kind of that guy that did a bunch of shit. I was a hockey player growing up. I always wanted to be a professional hockey player. And then played in high school and played a little junior hockey after high school. I was also like skateboard kid who was like, oh, maybe I'll become a skateboarder because I thought I was pretty good at it. But mainly that was all happening, making friends and stuff. And then locally from where we come from in Albany, New York, huge metal and hardcore scene, like when we were in high school and middle school and stuff. So of course me and my friends had this like local hardcore band, and I was like the screamer, actually, like just straight up only screamer.
Oh, yeah?
And in this metalcore band when I was like 13 or 14 or something like that.
Crazy.
Just in like the Albany, New York, like upstate New York scene. And Tyler, our guitarist, was playing bass for like a more popular like local like metal band or like a hardcore band. That's how we became friends, and that's how we've kind of like picked up a lot of the dudes in our crew who were involved in that scene too coming up. And everybody kind of went their different ways, and then that this new wave of like pop punk came in right when we were in high school coming out, like all those new bands, like all these bands that we grew up listening to, like Bayside and The Starting Line and Newfound Glory, obviously, like coming back in and getting more popular, these things. And then the new bands like Man Overboard and The Story So Far,
sure,
are popping up, and 4 Years Strong and Hit the Lights, like becoming more popular. Like I was like, oh, I actually really like to sing, like got together with Tyler, and that's where we kind of started the whole band thing.
But like going back a little further, like you don't just wake up one day and you're like, hey, I'm going to like scream.
No,
metalcore
not at
band.
All.
Like, there must have been some band that you heard, like, you know, for me, for example, like the first band I ever heard that made me want to play music was Metallica.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And then when I heard like punk rock, like it was like Green Day and The Offspring, they got big when mm-hmm. I was a kid. And that like really, you know, changed, you know, like that. I discovered punk rock in that way.
Okay.
So for you, like, what was it that all of a sudden you were like, oh, there's these bands that play like not just music on the radio, there's like this. And then, oh, there's a local scene? Like, how did yeah. you discover that?
Oh, yeah, that kind of thing. Like, the local scene, I feel like I've found first, where it's like all these bands that, like, are my friends or my friends' older brothers or mm-hmm. something, and they're, like, group of friends who cool. are like, oh, those are the cool kids. They go to the shows at night, and, like, we're still, like, 13 or 14, so we don't do that yet. We're like,
it was
we
like
want
something to do on a
something
Friday
to
night.
Do. Like, go, yeah. to the, go to the Union Hall or whatever, the Firehouse, right. that kind of thing. There's, like, local shows there. And like the scary shows, like really, like you got to be like watch out for like just people fucking moshing all over,
like a windmill like, in the face,
windmill to yeah. the face, that kind of thing. Tony, our guitarist, who's in the band now, used to play in like a pretty big band that actually kind of broke out of our local scene. They were considered the biggest like hardcore metal band. They're called Recon from Albany, and they ended up actually signing to Rise and did a lot of touring from that.
Cool.
Tony like was played in the Acacia Strain, who's from Massachusetts yeah. as well, and then he kind of just. Dipped out on that because he also has just like his love is for like our style of music and stuff
sure.
and joined our band at one
yeah.
point, which is really cool. But I don't know, when I was growing up, like there was that big metal scene, but I also just loved to sing. So it was when like, you know, a band like Yellow Card was at the time like put out Ocean Avenue, like that was like they were my first like, okay, that I like this record, and that's what got me into the whole pop punk thing, I think, was Ocean Avenue. But then what came from that, because they were on the radio, like they were a band that was on the radio at that time, but like
yeah.
moving forward from that, I think it might have turned into like, okay, I have this Taking Back Sunday record, and it comes with this sampler, and I think you know where I'm heading with this.
I might know.
The Where You Want to Be record.
Yep.
Came with the sampler that I still listen to so, so much, and I can name all the songs on it. Well, not all the songs. I forget what it starts with, but it basically has, you guys are on there. Smashed Pieces, and then Bayside Masterpiece, and Atreyu, yeah. Right Side of the Bed.
Yep.
And there's still like, I don't know, there might be after, do you remember some of the other songs? I'm trying to remember.
That was like the era where maybe like something like Spitalfield,
yeah.
Or yep. June was like a band
June,
that like,
and Action was probably on there.
Yeah, or like there was Junior Varsity.
Was, yeah.
All the Victory Records bands from that era, yeah.
All those bands. That was a big time for me. It hit right at the right time when I was like 14 or 15 or something
yeah.
like that. And that was also, well, no, I must have been younger than that, 12 or 13, because that was also when I went to my first Warped Tour.
Well, the Where You Want to Be record came out in 04.
04, and I'm a 92, so I was 11.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe you heard it a little bit later.
Maybe a little bit later,
like,
so probably 12 or 13. That's when I went to my first Warped Tour, yeah. 2005, probably the year after that, to see The Starting Line and Senses Fail and whoever else was on that year, Fall Out Boy, My Chemical yeah. Romance. That was a big year, thinking about it now.
Oh, yeah, 05 was a
yeah, huge year.
Year.
You guys didn't do that year, I don't think.
You were there?
You were there?
Oh, we did almost the whole thing in 05. We might not have done all of it.
Okay.
So maybe we weren't, if you were at the Mass.
It was Massachusetts.
Show,
you didn't do that.
We might not have played that,
okay.
year, that year. I can't remember. No, you're right. We didn't.
Yeah, I would have fucking been in there if you were playing.
I don't know. We missed like a couple shows on that tour for some reason,
yeah.
but. No, I remember what it was, Derek.
What?
We didn't play Massachusetts was the last day of the tour.
Was it?
And in 05.
Okay.
I could be mixing up the
Northampton.
Dates, but I don't think
it was in Northampton, Massachusetts,
and
at the time.
The second last show was Buffalo.
Okay.
And then the next day we were supposed to go all the way to Boston or wherever, Massachusetts.
Yep.
And then all the way back to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, you know how far it is from Boston to Buffalo.
That's far. That's almost
eight
or 9 hours. Yeah.
So we were like, really? Are we going to go all the way there?
And then have to come right back up to Buffalo
and come right
up.
All the way back to, yeah.
Yeah.
We were like, that's like probably like a 16-hour drive. You know, like
that's rough.
To do
yeah.
one show.
Yeah.
So we bailed on it.
That's why.
Sorry.
I was about to feel like a dick.
Sorry,
too.
Derek.
I was about to like feel yeah. like, fuck, I just fucked this whole thing up.
No, it's that's funny, because we
so that was the year for me.
And we had a big fight about it.
Really?
Because I wanted to do it. I wanted to do the show. It's like, look, we're people are expecting us to play whatever.
Yep.
We should just do it just to, you know.
Yep.
And everyone else was like, you know how it is. Like,
they're just
we're
like,
almost at the end of Warped Tour right now. How burnt out are you?
Warped. We are truly warped. Yeah.
So I
get that. I was probably upset about it at the time.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. But
yeah,
but
what that's the fuck, cool. It's man? Funny. No, I get it.
It's funny they bring up that Ting Mac Sunday sample CD because
I still have it.
I love that. But the funny thing about it is that they packaged it like a regular CD jewel case, and they put the CD, like the Ting Mac Sunday CD, in first. Then they just put the sample CD like on top of the
just
other
like
CD.
rested it on top,
right?
You open it and it falls out.
So it didn't
out.
Like click in all the way, but it was there. And what was really funny is numerous people told me that they bought the CD, picked it up, and just like I guess didn't look,
just put it
and
in,
put it in the CD player. And I think the first song Smashing to Pieces.
I think it is. That's what it was
and,
too. You open it, it's da da,
and people thought that. Like would hear the new Taking Back Sunday record for the first time and would hear my band.
So good.
And we're like, what the hell is going on? Is this the new Taking Back? But then after people realized what was going on, they were like, oh, I kind of like that song. And that actually really helped us.
I think it did. And it should. Being
Which
the first,
funny.
Especially on, you know, a band like that, putting out a record, that record in particular.
Yeah.
Which sold a few.
I guess that record sold like 250,000.
A few. Just a few.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, and being the first thing on another disc that comes with that, that means...
Yeah, it helped. But that's I love talking about this stuff because that's something that, like, that is never going to happen again.
No, like, that just...
Never!
That's just not a thing anymore.
No one buys CDs. Sampler CDs.
So here's the thing, though. It's something that we're trying to, not necessarily bring back, but bring back what I loved about CDs back then and about releases back then. What we're doing this year is our first DVD. We're filming a DVD. Like,
cool.
Not necessarily just a tour documentary kind of thing, but like, we put out an album. Our last one's called Around the World and Back. So we wanted to do the Around the World and Back DVD because we just got done with a world tour before this in the beginning of the year. And, you know, have just B-roll, random shit, funny stuff,
yep.
Hanging out on the tour, but also in between all of that, this song from the album live in this part of the world, this song live from, you know, this song live in Sydney, Australia, this song live in Tokyo, Japan, like that kind of thing. We thought that would be really cool.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're
cool.
in the process of doing right now because of the fact that that's what I loved. And my favorite bands, when they put out a DVD, like the Silverstein DVD and the Hawthorne Heights DVD, like the split release kind of thing where it comes with the disc, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or the
yeah.
Census Fail
yeah.
one, because you guys did one. It was just like, it was more so yeah. based on a tour or like a. A split kind of thing.
Yeah, I know what you're
That's what
about.
I loved. I'd like feed it off of that. So I want to do something like that, but like maybe just take it to a new level with like the way that things can be filmed and with like talented videographers, especially our guy Elliot that films us and does all of our video stuff, like kills it. And I think he's going to put together something pretty cool. So
awesome.
See how that comes out.
So you're working on that now. Any idea of when that you're going to have that together? To
we're going to have it together and try to. We need to have it done by like the fall so that we can put it out early next year, early in
cool.
2017. And that'll be like, I don't know if we're going to do like a deluxe version of our last album with the DVD or we don't even know what we're going to do yet.
Right.
It's just like
Figure
a tentative thing.
Sure.
But we care a lot about it and it's going to be something cool to put out and like maybe. Spark the same kind of thing that I felt with our with the fans these days too and with the kids, so that should be cool.
Absolutely. No,
yeah,
that's awesome.
I still remember little things like on DVDs you guys put out, like
yeah.
like the
if you're talking about the little things like the yeah the DVDs that would come with the CD,
yeah,
and,
just like the extra disc that was a
and
DVD.
You know what's funny is
I
that
got
like,
so stoked on that
is that and I you know now I looking back I wish that we cared more, like you're talking about how much you care about your upcoming DVD.
Yeah.
That shit was for us was so thrown together.
But that's the thing, though. It should be like that, and essentially, it is like that with us. We're still doing everything that we do normally, not doing anything different. But it just so happens we have a talented videographer
yeah.
with us, capturing it the right way. Like with you guys, I know
right.
it was a handheld cam, and like
oh.
out of the blue, something that I'll just remember. Like dude holding the beer, the Budweiser case, and the elevator door hitting him. Do you remember that at all?
I remember
yeah,
that.
Like that's just out of the blue. That's just what I remember. And I haven't seen that DVD in probably 10 years.
So, right. It's like, so funny. Yeah. But yeah, the thing too is like 10 years ago or whatever this stuff was filmed. The technology isn't like vastly.
Oh, that's
improved.
That's enough. That like, just like that.
We didn't have cameras. Like I don't even know if we had cameras on our phones. you know?
Probably not. It was probably just like the handheld, you know, like the
it was yeah, and
the
it was
strap
like,
on
and
your
you
hand,
would record it like
video
maybe
camera.
Even to a like an analog tape, like,
yeah.
You know, it was
so being
it's just
able
nowadays
to, being
it's
able
like,
to put something like that together back then. Was cool to like it was like whoa they made there's this DVD
it was
thing
much more difficult though
oh I'm
know,
sure
to capture moments and
yeah
stuff
yeah
and,
yeah
and it wasn't as big a thing like video because video on the internet wasn't a thing yet either so
true
you know like there because you
really almost before I mean before like YouTube hit and was a big
yeah,
thing
it was before
yeah.
YouTube there was no videos were made exclusively to be played on TV. That
exactly.
was the point of them.
Yeah.
And there was no thought of an internet, you know, playing video because people didn't have fast enough internet connections back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. Like, kids listening to this that are, like, younger kids are going to be like, what?
And they're like, what the?
Like, oh, internet without YouTube? Like, it's
yeah,
almost
right?
hard
no,
for
YouTube
me to imagine.
YouTube wasn't there. I don't know. I don't even know what it was to watch a video before YouTube.
But you know what I'm going to blow your mind with? What about when you were in a band touring and there was no internet?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I actually don't know about that.
No, I mean, I don't really know about that either. But we didn't have our first tour. We didn't have cell phones or anything.
Wow.
Computers, cell. We didn't have anything.
Did you have to print out maps?
Yes, MapQuest. We'd print out the maps for the entire tour
and have them in like
from,
a book or a binder.
From, yep, exactly. And we'd go from we'd do it from venue to venue.
Yeah.
And what would happen is we'd go stay at like a kid's house, sleep on the floor, and then we wouldn't know how to get back to like the route, so we'd have to like get lost and
or and then go to a gas station and ask somebody
yeah,
that kind
we
of
would
thing.
Definitely do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, y'all in a band? What are you doing?
Different world, man. No, they wouldn't say that. They'd say, "Are y'all on a fishing expedition?"
we get you guys on a school trip. It's our big joke now. Everywhere we go, like if anybody asks, "So what are you guys?" We're just a school trip.
Our favorite thing to do was we'd roll into like a Taco John's in Utah.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, "Oh, are y'all in a band?" Like, "Yeah, what band are you in?" Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte.
Oh, I think my daughter might have your posters on her wall. Oh my god.
We just
yeah,
sign
we didn't
this
care.
Napkin.
We didn't care, yeah. Whatever like was hot that minute, we'd right now if it was now we'd be like state champs.
Nah, we'd have to be like, we'd have to say, I don't know. I don't even know what to say
Skrillex.
Right now. Skrillex.
We're Skrillex. Oh, I've heard of this.
We are Skrillex.
We are Skrillex.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, dude, we're getting a little off track again. I love it, but let's talk about, again, I want to go back to the success you've had, because, mm-hmm. you know, I talked about from 2012 to 2014,
yep.
2014, 2016, and I think two of the really defining moments, and I hope you agree with me, are two tours that you did, the first one being the All Time Low Tour.
Yes.
2015. And that must have gotten you in front of so many people
oh, yeah.
that are exactly the demographic you want. How huge was that tour for you guys?
It was. I agree with you 100%. It was a big one. Like, when we got the offer for it, it was just something that we were like, wow. Like, you know, here we are coming off, like, you know, our first couple tours before that were, like, considered our big support tours that we were stoked on, but may not have really done what we wanted it to do for our band, supporting a band like Newfound Glory, which
yeah.
is great, and we should do that. Their fans have been with them for a long time and like are a little bit older, but like still like music and would like a band like us, but it's not necessarily like they want to be attached on to newer bands like that or younger bands like
that.
I
get it.
Yeah. Yep. So it was a big thing with us, like whether we wanted to dive into that, like the poppier younger market or things like that, whether we wanted to do with tours with bands like that. And then another big one, like one of our bigger early tours, was like with Bayside and Motion City Soundtrack, and it's the same kind of thing.
Yes.
Like I was just talking about, my favorite bands. It blew my mind that we could even tour with bands like that.
Right.
Like that's awesome. But and then here we are, and then we get offers to do the all-time or like even smaller pop rock bands. Like before that we had done a tour with We Are the In Crowd. They were called. They're like a pop rock band. Yeah, and like they're great. They're some of our best friends now. But like even before that, we were like, do we want to do a tour like that? Should we do that and like get away from like the pop punk, like the aggressive, like that kind of thing? That was when it kind of clicked, and we knew what we wanted to do and how we wanted to take our sound and approach ourselves. So, but the All Time Low tour, we've also loved All Time Low since we started being a band too.
Yeah.
So it's like insane. The shows were humongous. We were so nervous before all of them. Like, it was really cool. And then going on with that, what's the other tour you were going to say about?
Oh, yeah. Well, the other tour is I didn't know they called the band this. I had Patty from As It Is on the show, and he's like, yeah, Five Sauce. I was like, Five Sauce? Like, what's Five? Like, I had no idea. And he was incredulous. He was like, you don't know, like, that's what they call 5 Seconds of Summer? I'm like, Five Sauce? Like, that sounds like something you fucking get on your Five Guys burger. Like, can I get some five sauce? Extra Five Sauce? So
that's what we didn't know that either. When we found that out, we were like, what? Like, sauce? Like Five Sauce?
Yeah, I know, dude.
No, Five Sauce. I get
know,
it. Yeah.
I know, yeah. Ridiculous. But that tour in Australia must have been, pardon my French, fucked.
Like, it was fucked. So I talk about the All Time Low thing being, like, something we were nervous for. We didn't... That's literally nothing compared to what we had to do with 5 Seconds of Summer. Like, sure enough, we just met those dudes randomly when we were in L.A. recording Around the World and Back, like, our last record.
Yeah.
They were in there. They were at a different studio nearby recording their newest record, and one of those guys just came into my direct messages on Twitter and just said, hey man, I'm so and so, I play in this band, I love your band, will you guys please come over to our house and hang out with us, we're having a party tonight
in California,
in Bel Air. Were like, we have a house in Bel Air that we're staying at. I'm like, yeah, sure, we'll go see. Like, we knew who they were. We were like, oh wow, this is cool, like, we'll go see what they're doing. Like, and we kind of like, we had heard their music before too. We were just like, huh, we'll go see what this is all about. Show up, and they have this, like, huge mansion, like, at the tippy top of Bel Air, overlooking all of L.A.
Yeah.
And, like, met them, got along. Like, they're pretty normal dudes. They're younger than us, even. Like, a little younger than us. So, but they just like to hang out, and, like, they just randomly go, oh, we've got a world tour coming up. We don't have a support band for Australia. Would you guys maybe, like, think about wanting to do it? Like, as if... That's something
they're
we
from Australia, aren't
they're
they?
From Australia, yeah. And they have their own label as well, where they signed a band and they were supporting their whole tour. For some reason, they couldn't do the Australian shows,
right?
So they said, "Would you guys maybe like consider doing the tour with us?"
First of all, let me stop you. Who can't do those shows?
Yes.
Who's like, who is it? Five Sauce? Like, who says no to that? What?
But it was a big thing at the time, you know. We had to think about it. It was another thing, you know. Even I say, oh, we were cautious to even think about going that route with the All Time Low. We are the In Crowd kind of thing. With this is like a, like, give or take boy band, you know, that people consider a boy band or a pop band. That
right,
kind
you
got to
think. I guess you got to think about in turn, like, your credibility of what people are going to say on the. I don't know if there's internet message boards anymore, but...
No, there are, and we got
internet,
a lot of shit.
Right.
We got a
there's
lot
that
of shit
versus what the exposure
of course.
You're going to get is. But
it was half in that, and we, you know, we try not to even say that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, we shouldn't care about that kind of... Like, what people are going to say or think we're going to do what we want to do. But, you know, there's something... It's more so... It is still a personal thing with us. It's like, okay, like, do we want to go and do something like that and give ourselves this kind of image or this kind of this and that? But... like you said, it's something you're going to play to 20,000 people a night in Australia, and like, it's only you and them. Doors for the show are an hour before we play, so it is jam packed in there. When we play, lights go off before we go on, and it's the loudest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. We actually had to plug our ears from the screaming and stuff like that. And we weren't on in-ear monitors then either. Like, now we just started doing that, the whole like in-ear monitor system where you don't have the wedges like coming at you on stage. We had to use wedges like a normal punk rock band would, and they like were so weirded out by that we had to use those. Because
who was weirded out by that?
Like their team, their techs and their production people. Because here we showed up just us. That
Sorry, there's people that are weirded out that a band doesn't use in ears.
Well, I don't think they had known beforehand that we needed them, so they're like rushing around like, I don't even know why we got to be doing this and that. Like, this isn't... We don't work for you guys. Like, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
like, we're
wow.
Like, well, we're trying to be as nice as we can and, like, you
really?
Know, humble about this and, like, thankful for having them on the tour. Had nothing to do with the band themselves. Just kind of their crew.
Yeah,
just
being, like,
you know,
I guess.
Or maybe even venue staff, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just, like, being like, okay, we got to worry about this other band. It's not even their show. Like, that kind of thing. everything got worked out within the first couple days, fine. But like, we got warned, like, even it was right after the All Time Low tour, we did the Five Sauce tour. All Time Low was like, wow, you guys aren't on ears, you're gonna have to get up there and have the wedges like bouncing back, and you hit a snare and it's gonna come back at you 5 seconds later, and it's like gonna like really fuck with you. So we were really worried about that, but it didn't seem to really have that much of an effect. It wasn't a big deal,
because the thing is like, you're playing arena shows or whatever, like, they don't have shitty
audio equipment. Yeah, it's not
Like, you're gonna have the best monitor ever pointing at you. Like, as long as the monitor engineer has like a kind of an idea of what he's doing, then you're okay.
Which, and it was fine. It all worked out fine, but it was mainly just the nerves, man. Like, getting up there, and like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, they have a whole big stage and we could use all of it. We had our whole back line and everything. Like, sure enough, we just had a couple cabs and stuff, and they have all their video screens like ready to go behind it. And there's a big catwalk in the middle that goes out to the middle of the arena that they said we can or cannot use. Pick, like, you, whatever. I didn't go out there too much or anything. That's not my, like,
thing. They said you were allowed to use it, though?
They did, and then they said no halfway through, because I went out there once, and then I think the next day they were like, yeah, we're gonna say no to the catwalk for you guys anymore. Just because I kind of took a couple steps out there for one show. I didn't want to go too far or anything. It's so just such a wild thing for a band like us to be like a part of. Like,
well, I love we're talking about this stuff, because this is the stuff that like people listening to this that have no idea. Like, they're like, really? Like a headlining band will put restrictions on where the opener can go?
Yeah,
absolutely. But,
and that's
not real.
That's not even anything that has to do with the band themselves. Especially with a band like that, like, they're a huge band, and they have so much team and so much crew and so much everything. There's like people that we had just so many people that we didn't even meet while we were there on that tour. The kind of band that travels with a like, you know, like chefs and like, you know, like personal trainers, it's things like that. And it's wild, and it's definitely something like we're just like, wow, good on them, man. That's like, it's such a crazy thing.
When you guys landed the tour, I heard about it. A lot of people were talking about it because it was a big deal.
It was,
and I heard, and I want clarification if this is true or not. I heard that you guys didn't get paid and that you weren't allowed to sell merch. Is that true?
No, that's an exaggeration. We got paid, but it was next to nothing.
Yeah.
And we were allowed to sell one shirt.
One shirt,
and it was only allowed in one of the merch stands in the arena.
Wow. Because how many merch stands did Five Sauce have?
Between 15 and 20, I want to say.
Stands?
Yeah, like booths everywhere and outside the venue.
Oh my God.
And outside the venue, yeah.
Okay, so it's an exaggeration, but not really much of an
exaggeration. But we also did have to price match what they sell their t-shirts for. And they sold their t-shirts for $50. So we had to sell ours for $50. So if you think about it.
50 Australian isn't that much, though. Like,
true. Everything is more expensive. Not a lot of people, I guess, won't know.
Australians listening to this will say, oh, yeah, like, I understand 50. Americans will be like, what? 50?
Yeah.
But it's...
50 Australian is probably paying like 30 for a shirt here, though.
Yeah, I'd say. Like sort of. It's weird because like you go to...
Depends, and it changes all the time.
You go to Subway in Australia and you get like a combo and it's like $15.
Yeah, or you get a Gatorade at a gas station, it's $5 or $6.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. Yeah. That was the first thing that really freaked me out when we first went there. I was like, holy shit.
Wild. But okay, that's... But, you know, after all said and done, like that tour, do you think you got much takeaway from it? And have you been back to Australia?
We have been back to Australia. And yes, lots of kids. Oh, yeah. I saw you guys were the band. They played with Five Sauce, blah, blah, blah. Lots of younger fans, lots of younger girls. That's cool. Whatever. Did it make us a huge, successful pop radio band in Australia? No. It was a short tour. It was only eight shows or so. So, but, you know, that's the amount
that's
of markets
the
there. That's
shit.
That's
eight
Australia.
Shows in Australia is a lot of shows.
Yeah. It was something that we'll never forget, obviously. And, like, we don't regret doing or anything. It was fucking crazy.
No,
but,
no.
No, it didn't like launch us into this new thing in Australia or anything, but it helped. It was a really cool thing. Even in other markets, you know, we go to England or even in the US, everyone's like, oh, I heard about you guys because, you know, I love 5 Seconds of Summer. I heard that you did their tour. I wish you did it in here. I wish you did it here.
Yeah.
And so
that's the beauty of the internet is it doesn't even matter
all,
where things happen
all
anymore.
All because of the internet, really, that kind of thing too. And just the fact that many people were talking about it too, you know, like band like a guy like you don't care about 5 Seconds of Summer, but you heard about it, like that kind of thing. Like,
well, yeah, I guess I care about what's going on in music because I'm a part of the music industry. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think, and I know this is like some people will be rolling their eyes at this and like say it's like lame or whatever, but like I think it's important that I or you or whoever, like, that's, this is our industry, you know, it's important to know what's kind of what's going on. I think the people that close their eyes to it and still imagine, like, if I'm coming into Warped Tour expecting it to be No Effects and Bad Religion, and like, that's what people still like, well, I'm very, very mistaken.
It'll be a reality check.
Yeah, it's not what's going on anymore. Yeah. And you know, and that's okay. You have to be in tune with the scene. So
yeah, I'm the same way.
I didn't know they were called Five Sauce, but I definitely know about 5 Seconds
of Summer and what they're about and where they are. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So yeah.
It's just like a weird thing, like how that came about. Did that tour and then came back, and all of a sudden we're in the thick of this like newer generation of pop punk, pop rock, pop music, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But it's still what we set on doing. We didn't, you know, go out of the boundaries and, like, you know, so many things on the internet calling us sellouts and things like that. I don't even think about that in the slightest, like that kind
of
thing.
Of course. Well, yeah. I mean, you can't control what people say, but
yeah.
It's funny, you bring up, you know, your style, your band and stuff. So I was on your Wikipedia page literally today.
Nice.
And you know how there's like the little whatever you call them, like the headers, you know.
Yeah.
So there's like there's a members one that you click and it expands, and there's a discography one you click and it stands. So there's one that says style. So like the style of music your band plays, I guess.
Give it to me. This is what
it says.
Right.
This is verbatim. Style. State Champs have been described as pop punk. The Finer Things has been described as pop punk. That's literally what it says.
What the holy?
No, like, you know, they're pop punk and they kind of sound like this, or they have this twist or whatever. It's just like pop punk. It's just like pop, like that's it.
Straight to the point. Thank you for,
like,
that.
But being, you know, that this is your band, like, I mean, I don't know if you choose to accept the pop punk term. You've said it a few times.
Everybody's got their different take on it, especially now too, because it's become kind of a sore subject with certain bands that don't want to be involved,
right,
or be considered pop punk, even though a lot of people would. And then there's a lot of bands that embrace it and like want to just say we are a pop punk band.
It's like any label, man. Like for us, it was screamo. Like we didn't want it to be called that, but it was
weird, because that was, you know. It's pretty much the same situation when you guys were coming up too. That kind of thing where it's like,
exactly,
you don't want to pigeonhole yourself. You know, you don't want to you don't want to just be like, can't we just call ourselves a rock band? What kind of rock band are you? You know, like,
right? Exactly. The problem we had with screamo. I want to talk more about the pop punk thing, but
no, I want to hear
this. The thing about the screamo thing, which is weird, is like maybe some of the older listeners will know, but like back in the late 90s, early 2000s, the screamo genre started. And the screamo genre didn't sound anything like Senses Fail or Silverstein or Static Lullaby or any of those bands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It sounded like more like grindcore, like E. It was like very aggressive, screamy, like
what were bands like? I mean, I probably would,
like,
I don't
know.
Call it
Page 99 or Orchid maybe was screamo. Like there was a Seisha, there were like all these bands that were called screamo, but it was not, there was no element of like pop to it.
Okay.
Like there was no like Smash Into Pieces chorus, you know, our first song on our first record, like that has a chorus that's four chords, like the classic chord progression,
pop structure. Yeah.
Pop structure. Yeah. Like that was so I was like, well, that would never exist in a screamo song.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, we aren't a screamo band. We love screamo bands, but we're not a screamo band. I don't know what you want to call
but
it.
But then it just kind of developed into this thing,
it's
new age thing.
Right?
And that's what we were talking about before.
Right.
It's just like, that's just kind of where things took, and that's what people are going to call it. And if it hooks and people are going to go with it, you kind of either have to accept it or not be about it and pick one side there.
Sure. But relating it back to pop punk and you guys, it's like, I think pop punk that you guys play is way more accurate a term, because, you know, like a lot of the songs from your latest record, they could be on like one of the earlier Newfound Glory records.
True.
Like they you guys are not that far apart.
No, and I don't disagree with that.
So the term, like it makes a lot more sense. But that being said, like, you know, I look at like Neck Deep, where they're like, they have the shirts that are like, you know, generic pop punk, or like, fuck Neck Deep, mate, their shit. Like, they have this thing where they're like, being a little self-deprecating about
making
it.
Making fun of themselves to the point where it's like, wait a minute. Yeah, and that, you know, I do second guess that too. Those guys are our good friends. Like, we've done tours with them. But with that thing, I mean, kids seem to love it. You know, like, the kids seem to, like it and, like, do that. Like, so many bands doing that kind of stuff too.
Yeah,
like,
well, I think it's a bit of a defense mechanism for them. Because they're able to say it before anyone else
does.
Right? So they can say that kind of stuff. But basically, like, what I'm trying to get at with you guys is, like, what are you trying to do, like, musically? Like, are you just trying to be a pop punk band? Like, obviously, there's expression in, like, what you're trying to say as a message and everything. But, like, when your Wikipedia just says, they're a pop punk band.
This is
and
pop
there's
punk.
There's no, like...
This is pop punk, and the record is pop punk.
Right. I'm saying there's no, like...
Do I wish?
But they're more like this, or they are. This is interesting about them.
Yeah.
So, like, what is it about your band that's like, sets you guys apart, or you think sets you guys apart, or do you just not care?
That's the thing, and, you know, do I wish that maybe had a little more detailed description of what we sound like? Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
When I think about it, we don't really tend to think about it too much. You know, it's like, okay, this next record, what are we going to do that's different? Or what are we going to do? Do we want to go a different direction? Do we want to make pop songs that could bring rock back onto the radio kind of thing? Because a lot of people are thinking about that right now. And it's like, well, then what do we call it? Do we call it pop rock then? Or do we still call it pop punk now that it's more popular and it's becoming like a radio thing? I don't know. I try not to, like, get myself stressed about that or have to worry too much about it. We're just going to make the songs that we like and still take influences from our favorite bands that we liked and want to sound like or want to take it and put our little spin on it. Like, we don't think too much about it. I think I'm going to just... Yeah. I'm going to take that middle ground where it's like...
I think it's okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm not the kind of guy that gets that if someone says, you're a pop punk band and that's what you are, am I going to be like, fuck you, no... I'll say, I mean, yeah, like, I like pop punk. I guess we are a pop punk band. That's fine. But am I going to be like, I also won't be the guy to be like, well, yeah, but like, but also like this and that. And like, we have like production and like, you know, we like care about like the pop sense of our pop punk, that kind of thing.
Right.
I just don't like to get into it too much. You know, I don't like to care that much.
Well, when you guys are writing a record, like, let's talk about the last record you guys wrote.
Yep.
What was the writing process like? How did you guys, like, did you guys talk about the kind of record you wanted to make, or did you just kind of get in and jam?
We would just get in and jam. Like, we just get together with acoustic guitars, kind of just jam, write some songs, and then I'll take it home and mix it up, write some lyrics to it, record on my laptop or whatever. Once we had all of our, like, potential demos ready to go out, we flew out to LA, like, worked with Kyle Black, our producer, who did that, and we also did a little bit of stuff with the Madden Brothers from Good Charlotte. We actually recorded the drums. We did all the pre-production and tracked the drums at the Madden Brothers studio in LA on Sunset Boulevard. It was like a really nice place. It was pretty cool. But we hadn't met them before or anything yet, like, so we didn't really know what to expect or if they were going to want to, like, be there and help and stuff. But Joel was pretty cool. He was there most of the time. They're really busy guys. They, like, host The Voice in Australia and stuff. So they were always, like, flying back and forth, popping into the studio sometimes.
Wow.
And then for, like, 2 seconds and then have to leave. But there was a couple days there where he, like, really, like, got involved and wanted to sit down and hear our demos. We weren't paying him or anything. Like, he wasn't supposed to even be involved. He just, like... cared and like wanted to like sit down with us and be like, hey, can I hear your jams? Like, I've got a couple notes here and that. Nothing crazy. He didn't want to take our songs and make them something else or like switch anything up. But he was just like, wow, I really like this chorus. Maybe if you like really pushed this part of it and like did this a couple more times or little things like that. Or like, this part is your bridge, but I like love this part so much more than the chorus. Try that as the chorus and then switch them. That kind of thing. That was only for maybe a few songs, and he only did that for about an hour with us for maybe 2 days. So I'm like, that's pretty cool, though.
That's like a very like cool thing being like a kid growing up.
Oh yeah,
like,
dude. Like we love
even me. Like I'm a lot older. Like, and I would say I was never really a fan of Good Charlotte. Like I guess I just was too old when it got big. Like
It was hitting pretty hard when I was into it. But like,
but I would be fucking nervous around those guys, man. Like,
oh yeah,
like Joel Madden telling me like what melody I should use. I mean, sure, man, whatever you say. How many fucking millions of records have you sold?
Even just hearing him like listen to the song and then stop it and like close his eyes and like be like, all right, you know the part that's like take 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 and like singing my lyrics that I wrote. I'm like, whoa, that's cool.
Right.
It's like, but what if you tried it like this and like did a different thing? It's like, Wow. Okay. And I'm, but the also thing is, I'm like pretty picky, and I'm like, I've been doing a little bit of producing myself, like helping out other bands, and I always try to like kind of play quarterback when we're in the studio and be that guy.
That's,
you know,
me too. I'm
yeah,
like that
be
too.
That kind of guy. Yeah. So hearing that too, I don't want to just be like, yeah, 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 like whatever you say, dude. Like, okay, let's do that. I still kind of like, and this is what scared me the most,
so
having
shoot,
to be like,
you have
having
to shut be, down yeah, Joel. Yeah.
Having to shut down something like that. Yeah. Not everything, but like, you know, something that he's going to say that in the back, as soon as he says it, I'm in my mind like, nope. But do I can't just say that. Like, I got to find a way to be like, I mean, that's cool, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you got to be like, well, you know, like, lifestyles of the rich and the famous. I think that melody could be better, dude.
I just think you could have really pushed that to, like, you really just didn't hit me in a good spot there. You got to try something else.
Or you got to add a harmony. Lifestyles of the rich and the famous.
Yeah.
I know that's your specialty.
Oh, dude, that's my shit.
That is.
But anyways, that was a cool thing, you know. It was cool that they wanted to be involved. They were also out on Warped Tour for a little bit. They played about a week or so.
Yeah.
It was cool to watch them. I had never even seen Good Charlotte before, actually. So that was cool. And they played all the hits.
I don't think I've ever seen them.
They played all the hits, and their crowds were insane. Like, it was pretty cool.
That's really, really rad. Yeah. No, that's cool. So where do you foresee the band going from here musically? Like, are you guys... I know you guys have one more record with Pure Noise.
Yep.
I'm sure, like, with all the success you guys have had, you know, with your last record debuting high on the charts, and your co-headlining tour with Neck Deep was a huge success.
Yep.
Warped Tour, now main stage. There must be a lot of, I don't want to use the word pressure, but...
No, I'd say so. Like, I mean, it's to that point where it's like, you know, things have hit. What were the things that we could have, you know, our wildest dreams starting this band? Play Warped Tour. Sure enough, main stage Warped Tour.
Right.
Do a world tour headliner that's sold out. Something like that's like the reach, like the wildest dreams. And you get to it, and it's like, here we are now. That's fucking crazy, but what's next?
Yeah.
You know, like, seriously, like, it's like, what do we do? I mean, we could just do it all again and, like, do another record and just do it again. Do we want something like that to get stale? No. So, sure enough, here we find ourselves, like, what can we do that's different, and how can we push it? And how, but without, like, you know, going out of our boundary and doing something we don't want to do, obviously, but, like, you know, taking it to the next level still. But what is that next level?
So
we don't know.
You don't know?
We don't really know. I mean, we're going to still make a record and try to make it something that we think we're just like more, even more proud of than the last one. What specifically makes that happen, we're going to find out pretty soon, I think, because we're right after this tour is when we start writing for the next one. So that's when we really have to, like, you know, get our shit together, I guess. So.
Right.
Who knows, well, man?
Good luck. That's,
yeah, right.
Know, the,
so
the
pressure
third.
Is pressure is definitely a thing, but I kind of like it. I'm I'll take pressure, like, put me to the test, and I'll show you, you know, what we can do.
The second record a band makes is definitely the most important, but the third record is important too. So
third record is also kind of a make or break thing.
It is.
Yeah.
I believe that the third record is what I think. You guys have a long career ahead of you, regardless.
Yep.
You guys are here, and you guys are still growing. But the third record, I think, will be the record that either takes you to the stratosphere or kind of keeps you where you are.
Yeah, so exactly. So who knows, man?
You have to be kind of hyper self-aware of what it is.
I think
you guys are pretty self-aware.
I think about that stuff all the time, and, you know, it's like, but then you try not to let it get to your head and, like, freak you out.
Yeah.
But not really the kind of person that would let that happen, so it's not too much. Like, we're just kind of excited more than anything, I guess. So,
and you should be.
Yeah.
You should be very excited.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks so much for doing this. Great talking.
Dude, thanks for having me, dude. This is really
America.
Cool. Oh, we're gonna have another one of these. Don't
you
worry.
Mine's long done.
Taste of America. I got too into the talking, so I gotta drink this beer now. Thanks for listening.
Do it into the microphone. See if we can hear him guzzling a beer. Oh yeah.
Oh, God. That was so much bubbles.
Dude can't handle his liquor.
Can't handle my soda, dude.
Before I let you go, we always play music on this podcast.
Let's do
it.
So
I want to ask you what state champ song we should play. What are you thinking for the people out there?
For the people. Yeah, let's play a song. I want to play our song called Secrets off the new album.
Great. And does that song have any particular meaning or anything you could say about it, or a funny story?
It's probably a song that means the most to me and like hits pretty close. It deals with like friendship loss, like a big like you know having a friendship for a long time. Things go very sour and you don't really know why, and it's just something that I hold really close to me. So, but and it's cool because I think it can be relatable in also different ways too, which it has. So, it's it hits home for sure for me.
Awesome. Well, here it is.
Check
Secrets
it out.
Secrets by State Champs on Lead Singer Syndrome, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, Derek.
Cheers, man.
Face down. I've got more secrets than you'll ever.